Father God, I want to thank you so much for Andrew. I want to thank you, Father God, for the word that you've placed in his heart. I thank you, Father God, that he hears your voice. I thank you that your spirit lives in him. So I just pray, Father God, that you speak through him during this time. Pray, Father God, that you help us to have open hearts and open ears to hear what you have for us this morning. We pray for your spirit to come. Your spirit's already here, but help us to press into it. Help us to receive it, Lord. Help us to receive it. Spirit, come. Amen.
Thanks, Jess. Who likes waiting? I was thinking there might be one. Did you have your hand up, Maddie? Oh, Simon? Marty? Like waiting? Luke, don't mind waiting? Love waiting. There you go. Thanks for... You're in the minority. That's right. That's right. If you ever want to discern the spirit of the world, it's usually the opposite of the spirit of God. So if you haven't noticed out there, everything in the world says you must have what you want and you must have it now. And so we become conditioned by the spirit of the world to do the opposite of what the word of God tells us to do, which is wait. But I remember, I'm not great with formality. Those of you who know me know I'm not great at formality. I can do it, but it's a stretch. But we're doing something when I was in the Salvation Army Training College, and there's plenty of pomp and ceremony at the end. And I think the guys that are a year ahead of us were getting what they call commissioned or graduating or whatever they do. And anyway, we're doing some practices leading up to this big pomp and ceremony thing. And in one of the practices, we're all standing in this room, and someone was disorganized somewhere, and so we're standing there, and I'm that guy. Like, you know, I've got this gift that I've tried to give away. Some of you can tell me what it is. I got the gift of saying the obvious. When I was an apprentice, naive, I was probably a first year apprentice, or you'd be in a staff meeting and the boss would ask questions. You know, he's doing that training thing that you had to do to tick the box, and I didn't realize. So he's asking questions. I'm going, there's all these tradies around the table, and he'd ask these questions, and I'm going, I don't know why. Everyone knows the answer to that. Why isn't anyone answering that question? And so I would answer it, you know, and there'd be more silence because the boss didn't really want the honest answer. And one tradie said to me one day, Andy, you're the guy that just says what everyone else is thinking. And I thought, well, then why not say it? Anyway, there is a right and a wrong time to open your mouth. But anyway, this day, we're standing in there at this practice, and I just said, can someone please tell me why we're still standing here? Anyway, years later, we started running the Salvos Discipleship School. And one of the guys who used to be a training officer there had become a facilitator. He was up doing some training for our students. And he said, I remember one time when you were in college and we're standing around and you said, I said, oh, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm so sorry. And you know what he said? He said, that was the right question. That was the right question. Why are we waiting here? So this morning, I want us to say, yes, it's okay to wait, but there's got to be a purpose in the waiting. God is not a jerk, right? So he doesn't just say, wait. I believe God always has purpose to stuff. Okay? He's not mean. Sometimes I think we're waiting. I don't know why. Well, you should know why you're waiting. If you don't know why you're waiting, you probably shouldn't be waiting. Maybe God's saying, go, not wait. Does that make sense? So I want to talk about waiting. We're leading up to Pentecost. It's in a few weeks when the Holy Spirit was given to everybody. Praise the Lord for that. And Jesus said in Acts 1:4, on one occasion, this is after he'd come back to life, while he was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there's times when God says go, and there's other times when God says wait. And praise God, these guys listened to Jesus. And it says this, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem, so they did what they were told. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. present, and they list off all the disciples as well as the women. They all joined together constantly in prayer. So they weren't just waiting. They were praying. They were active. Sometimes we think waiting is passive. Waiting is not passive. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there's all these people. On the day of Pentecost, we're told there's 120 of them in this room praying and waiting actively. And Acts 2:1 tells us when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I love the story of Evan Roberts. If you haven't never read much about Evan Roberts and the Welsh Revival, I love the story. And, you know, some people tell the story in a bit of a poetic way, but the way I heard it was cool. You know, like Evan Roberts was, as a young guy, heard the story of Thomas, that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came. Actually, I had coffee with a friend yesterday and reminded of, it's pretty sick actually, Salvation Army music camps back in probably the 80s, where the last night people just hitched up with each other and kissing and passion. And this new youth officer came in and he cleaned their mess up. And he shifted it from a fleshly thing to a spiritual thing. And I remember, because I grew up in the Sallies, right? And this is what you do when you come, this is what you don't do. But this is what we used to do when it comes to the prayer time at the end of the sermon, right? You're sitting in your seat and you take on the holy, I'm praying really, but I'm not present. I'm probably having a bit of a sleep, right? And so we're at the chapel at this music camp. And it come the time at the end where they're kind of, I don't know what they're doing, but I was doing the holy pretend I'm praying, but I'm not really present in the room thing, right? And I looked up and the Holy Spirit had moved and I had missed it. And I went, wow. Yeah, I went, wow, that's bad. How did I miss that? The room looked like a train wreck. The Holy Spirit done all kinds of awesome stuff in the room. I had missed it because I was in the room, but I wasn't present. And you know what? Evan Roberts went to every meeting he could find because he didn't want to be like Thomas and he wasn't there when Jesus came. You know what? And I believe the Holy Spirit's moving in all kinds of places. And so we need to make sure that we're showing up and we're waiting. But this morning I really want to talk about is worth waiting. I've got 4 points. I'll try and be as quick as I can. The first one is worth waiting because it helps us grow up. Why do you want to grow up spiritually? Because, and I'll jump around a bit today, Ephesians 4:14, I'm not sure if I put that on there, but it says this, when we grow up, more or less, Paul's saying to the Ephesians, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Now, there's lots of people out there that you've met and you will meet who are going to lie to you. And they will suck you in to all kinds of stupid junk. And some of them call themselves Christians. So we need to be mature in our faith so that we don't get tossed around. That's why we want to be mature. That's why we want to grow up in the faith. And growing up's not a time thing. It's an event thing. It's based on choice, not time. So you can sit in church for 30 years and be just as immature as when you first came to Christ. But you can sit in church for 12 months and at the end of that 12 months be so, you're on your maturity journey. Isn't that good? So it's up to you how mature you are. It's not a time thing. I find that encouraging. You can grow as fast as you want. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. It's not enough that God tells us to wait. Then he says, wait patiently. I can wait. I'm not sure I can wait patiently. That's a big ask, hey? And the only reason we wait because the door won't open anyway, no matter what we do. So we call it waiting, but we're not really waiting. Is that true? And he says, wait patiently. It's almost like psalmist is swearing at me. Patiently. Some translations say patience, some say endurance. That fits better, doesn't it? Endurance. Some say another word. Oh, perseverance, just as ugly as the other ones. James 1:4 says, let perseverance, some translations say patience, finish its work. You know, patience doesn't work in your life. You can feel it, can't you? Growth feels like that some days, doesn't it? Praise God, some days, Stacey, growth feels like joy. Other days, growth feels like slamming your arm in the door. But we got to trust that it's growth. Got to trust that it's growth and that God's doing something. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hey, that's a great promise. I wouldn't mind being mature and complete and not lacking anything. Well, if I want that, I need to be patient. And I need to learn how to wait. Full of good news this morning, aren't I? The word, the Greek word for, fascinating, for this word perseverance in James 1:4 means this, right? Remaining under. Remaining under the authority and leadership of God, the Holy Spirit, I think is what they're saying. It means especially as God enables the believer to remain under. So God enables us to remain under his authority. You know, when God wants to do something in our lives, what we want to do is just duck out of the pressure for a while. But you know what? He can give us the grace and the strength to remain under his will for our life, which develops patience and perseverance and then makes us mature and complete. How cool is that? I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a plan, you know, exactly what you are going to execute, and you had someone I won't name names, but I got my plan, I know what I'm doing, I'm pretty competent, and it's all cool, and I got someone with me who goes, what are we doing? And they want all the details. And it's like, hey, you know me, right? You trust me? I've come through for you before. You know I'm competent in this area. I wonder how many times God says that to us. Don't you know me? Don't you trust me? I mean, he said it to the disciples. He said, don't you know me, Philip? He said that. And I think sometimes by his Spirit he says it to us. Don't you know me? Don't you trust me? You know I can do this. Could I've done it before for you? How many times does God have to do the same thing before we believe that he can do it again? So we can trust him. We can wait patiently, knowing that God's doing a good work in us. I'm not saying it's easy. But if we want to be mature enough to overcome the storms of life, and they come, we need to learn to be empowered by the Spirit to wait patiently. It's worth waiting because it helps us grow up in the Spirit. Number two, it's worth waiting to know the right direction. Psalm 25, 4 and 5, make me know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. This is the New American Standard Version. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Here's the cracker. For you, I wait all day long. All day. Ever waited on God all day? If not, take a spiritual retreat. Take a day off and spend it with God. See what happens. Just see what happens. See how much peace you have at the end of the day. See how much direction you have at the end of the day. The word wait here, I wait all the day, means wait or look eagerly. Here it is again. Not passive. And you've heard me say this before, where it says in Isaiah 40, I think it's 31, they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word's not a passive waiting, it's an active waiting. It's us pressing into God, knowing that while we're waiting, he's working. Trusting that he's up to stuff, putting all the bits, moving the bits around the chessboard so that at just the right time, suddenly, bang, things will come together. So it's not us waiting, going, oh, I hope God's doing something. Don't know why are we all still here? No, it's like, God, I know you're doing stuff. I know you're up to stuff. I trust that you're doing something. Psalm 106:13 says this about God's people, right? And this is in the context of God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt. So that's pretty cool. Saved all their lives, did some amazing stuff. And then they get into the desert. And Psalm 106:13 says, they quickly forgot his works. Why are we, I love what Marty said today. Gratitude and gratefulness and, you know, like, he's been on in that journey and that overwhelmed with gratitude. And I heard you on the video last week or the week before saying gratitude. You know what? It's good to give thanks and gratitude. And I actually learned in my psychology studies that if you don't reflect, you don't grow. That's even a non-Christian thing, right? The only way to grow personally is to sit in reflection. And I think they stole that off God, right? We have to do reflection, friends. We have to slow down and go, okay, just write a list if you have to. I do it every morning. I have a thank you section in my prayer list where I go, thank you, God, for. It's a discipline to help me remind myself so I don't quickly forget his works. Because we tend to quickly forget his works. And therefore, they did not wait for his plan. And they were at the door of the promised land and they missed it. And then the next day they said, oh, well, we'll go up. And God says, no, you've missed the opportunity. And then there's Abraham. I bet you he wished he waited. His wife Sarah had a good idea. You know, God said, I promise you a son. And Abraham thought he'd help God out. Or Sarah had a good idea, his wife. Sometimes our wives have really good ideas, and sometimes they don't. And you've got to discern which is which. Sometimes our husbands have really good ideas, sometimes they don't. And you've got to discern which is which. You know what does bother me? Is how gullible people are, particularly Christians. You know what? The Bible says to test prophecies. We live in a season where if someone has a word for you, just swallow it like it's, you know, bacon and eggs on Saturday morning. Test it, please. Test it. Otherwise, you could find yourself going, 1993, we went and watched this prophet, Charlestown, right, from South Africa, so he must be a prophet. And you know what? He told me I was going to marry someone who wasn't Salvation Army. I wouldn't be in the Salvation Army, but I'd always be associated with it. Well, that worked out right, didn't it? Which is a greater test, right? Because I didn't know how to test and discern. But you'll know them by their fruit. He spent the whole night making jokes of people and putting them down. I should have worked out by then that I should have really been cautious about the words he shared. Now, I'm all for prophecy. I'm all for words of wisdom and words for knowledge, but don't just swallow them. And it's probably a while since I've said this too, but I'm accountable for what I teach, but you're accountable for what you believe. So test what I say. Get in the Word and see if I'm telling the truth or if I'm off the mark, and come and correct me if you want to, right? But you're responsible for what you believe. And so please test things. Please question things. Whether it's the news, whether it's Facebook, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a doctor, you're allowed to question things because God gave you a brain and he gave you a spirit and the Holy Spirit to bring some discernment. Never before have we needed discernment, I believe, than this hour to know what's true and what's lies. So I see people shoot off in all kinds of directions because they had a good idea or their spouse had a good idea. We've even questioned the Salvation Army. Because sometimes they just have a good idea. I mean, I love the Salvation Army, but it's just an organization. And my allegiance is supposed to be to God before the Salvation Army. So friends, it's okay to question things respectfully, politely, with a heart of submission, but don't just be gullible. Because you'll find yourself on some weird bush track and you don't know where you are. It's the truth. Been there. So Abraham and Ishmael, if you don't know about Ishmael, look it up in the Bible. It was just a mess. And you know what? Some messes have consequences for the rest of our lives, friends. So you better to get it right. You better to wait. Just saying. Would you rather wait? Or suffer a... Now, God forgives. He heals, he restores, he does all that stuff, but sometimes there's parts of those consequences that we live for the rest of our lives because we didn't wait. Can't emphasize that strongly enough. It's worth waiting to know the right direction. The Bible says wisdom is proven right by its fruit. God's children who did not follow his plan lived out their lives in the desert. They never got to the promised land. But the apostles who waited in Jerusalem did what they were told and waited and waited and waited, experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit and the amazing journey that followed in the book of Acts. So whose example do you want to follow? Children of Israel in the desert or the apostles waiting in the upper room in Jerusalem? It's worth the wait to know the what, the how, and the when. Well, not always the how, but certainly the what and the when of God's plan for our lives. Sometimes he even tells us the how. It's pretty cool. Number three, it's worth waiting because God is good on his promises. So Acts 1:4, we've talked about it before, but it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father has promised. So it was a promise. In John 14, we read verse 15, verse 29, that Jesus promised, he said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So there's a promise. They weren't just waiting. We're waiting, but we don't know why. They were waiting on a promise. I get this picture, right? You imagine, try this, see how it goes, let me know next week. Drive up into Macca's, into the drive-thru, go past the little speaker thing and just wait at the window. Try that. Someone will think you're not right. And they'll say, what are you doing? So I'm waiting for my burger. But you never ordered a burger, but I'm supposed to wait here for my burger, aren't I? But you never asked for your burger. Right? God's given us a Bible full of promises. That's what we're supposed to hold and wait with. We're not just meant to wait and hope something will happen. Well, friends, if you don't know what's going to happen, stop waiting. Get back to the Word. Does that make sense? And we have promises to hold. And in the waiting, we're holding the promise. God, you said, Moses said that to God. Other people said to God, the promises, right? Book full of promises. Hundreds of promises for us to claim. If God has promised and he's promised many things, then we can wait patiently with confidence that those promises to be fulfilled. And his promises are in his word. And if you believe in your heart, it's a great one, right? If you believe, I come across heaps of people who think, oh, you say, oh, you're going to heaven, are you saved? I hope so. What do you mean you hope so? The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Can't you just hold that promise? See, sometimes we measure how messed up we are. Mate, if it was about how messed up we were, none of us would get there. I'm still messed up, right? If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You say, if you get hit by a truck this afternoon, you'll be in heaven tonight. Praise the Lord. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, and I'm not sure he's far away, I keep saying to my dad every Thursday night when I ring him on the phone, keep your eyes on the clouds. Okay? Are you ready to go? If not, you can sort that out this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died for my sins, you rose again. Please be my Lord and Savior. And when my ticket to go home is ready, I'll come. Mate, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Here it is here. Here's a promise. This is just an illustration, right? But another book I've been reading, a guy called Derek Prince, he calls it God's Medicine Bottle. I love the book because it's little. It's my kind of book. And Derek Prince, right, was a philosopher. I love this. So he's a doctor of philosophy. Grew up in the church, that did nothing for him. All he saw was religion. He became a philosopher because he wanted to know the meaning of life. And then he had to join the army. He got drafted into the military. And while he was in the military, he found Christ. But he'd been a doctor of philosophy. Amazing. And then while he's in the military and he found Jesus, then he got sick. He's in the desert. Like they're in the, these guys were in the desert. World War II, I think it was. Maybe, was he that old? World War I? Anyway, he's in the desert. And he ended up with eczema on his hands and feet and they couldn't heal it. And they ended up having to put him in this military hospital still in Egypt. And the doctors couldn't do anything for him. And here's this philosopher, right? Knew all this philosophy and very intelligent man. And he just read this verse. These verses in Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. This is talking about God's word. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Some translations say flesh. And this guy's a philosopher, so he knows what the word flesh means. It means flesh, right? So, body means body. We're not spiritualizing that. So what he's saying is God's word can heal your body. So here's this brilliant philosopher was dumb enough to take God literally. Being sarcastic. But there's a lot of people out there today who think if you take the Bible literally, you're dumb and uneducated. Well, he is a very educated philosopher who just happened to take, desperate enough, to take God's words literally, but understood it. It wasn't out of context. It says, health to one's whole body. Study it. It means flesh. And he goes, well, how do I do that? Well, if you take me as a... He was a medical orderly in the military. And so he goes, how do you take your medicine? Three times a day. I guess I'll just read the word. He's in hospital for a year, had nothing else to do, right? Couldn't go anywhere. He's sick. I'll read the word three times a day. Now, he wasn't instantly healed, but over the next few months, his eczema went away and never came back. That motivates me to read the word when I'm not feeling well, doesn't it? Wow. Do you think the word of God could heal my body? I challenge you to give it a crack. So, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. But I want you to think about this, right? Who has time? Enough time to read the word three times a day. Then I encourage you to try that, especially if you're not well physically, and let us know what happens. When we take God's promises in his word and wait on them, it can be amazing what God can do. It's worth waiting. This is my favorite point. I'm aware of the time. Because it brings us closer to God. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Hey, that's cool. I like God to call me his friend. How come? Well, because Abraham waited 25 years for his son. I know he did the Ishmael thing, but God is God of grace and forgiveness. And it didn't, you know what? The Ishmael thing didn't hurry God up. If you've got a dumb plan to help God out, just it's not going to hurry God up. God has his timing, and he's not open to manipulation, just if you wondered. But you know what? Because Abraham stepped out in faith, not knowing where God was going to lead him, and he continued to live a life of faith, because of his faith in God, because he trusted God, God called him friend. The other person that was called a friend of God, it said, God spoke to Moses face to face like one would with a friend. You know what? Moses had to wait. See, Moses sensed his calling when he was 40. And he was going to start leading. And, you know, he messed it up and ended up 40 years in the desert. He waited. He had a long wait in the desert. Then his whole ministry was in the desert. Then he didn't even get in the promised land. So he didn't even kind of get all of his promise. God said he would lead the children of Israel, which that happened. But, you know, Moses could have gotten the promised land. That actually didn't happen. You know what? Sometimes getting our promises isn't the goal, friends. It's being a friend of God is the goal. Relationship's the goal. Not the big outcomes that we want. Is actually a relationship with God. See, we get all goal orientated. Well, let's shift the goalposts. Your goal isn't even to change the world. It's to have a relationship with God. And he'll change the world maybe through you. But it's about the relationship. So let's make sure our goals are right, hey? In the waiting, in the pressing into God, is that we come into a level of relationship with him where nothing else matters. That's when we know we've gone deep. Nothing else matters. And we find perfect peace and perfect contentment and true taste of heaven. And in that space, we become a friend of God. We find genuine and life-changing relationship with him. You know what? That was my... I had a few goals on holidays, but that was one of them. Because we were blessed to stay in this beautiful apartment. I had a balcony, and every morning I'd just go out there with my coffee, my ginger tea, and my avocado toast. You got to drink the ginger tea first so you can enjoy the coffee. And I look at the channel at Bullcock Beach in Caloundra, and I took a book with me that I tried to read 2 or 3 years ago. I couldn't actually read it. It's just a book by Andrew Murray called Waiting on God. And besides my normal devotions, I just meditate in this book, and I just wanted to learn better how to wait. You know what? God seemed to be on the balcony every morning. Just because I gave him the time and space, I think. And it's not that I don't do my devotions most mornings. But I just try to give him some extra time. To allow me, in my spirit, in my mind, to come into land. And learn again, afresh, and even more so in a deeper way, how to wait on him. Matthew 7:21, I'll close with this. This is some scary stuff, and this is Jesus talking. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? I thought that was an indicator that you are saved. Or cast out demons in your name. Or done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, and this is Jesus talking, I never knew you. Mate, I thought signs and wonders were an indication of how mature we are. Well, this tells me it's not. Anyone can do signs and wonders. Give it a crack. Because it's God's work, not yours. But not everyone has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. What I love is John 15:15, where Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master's business, doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. I've called you friends because these guys hung out with Jesus day in, day out for 3 years, doing everything he asked them to do. And he called them friends. I want to ask you today if Jesus is your friend. Do you know him? And does he know you? Either way, we're called to wait. We're called to wait for spiritual maturity, called to wait for direction, called to wait for fulfillment of his promises. But most importantly, we're to wait to have a more intimate, deeper, stronger relationship with him. Are you more willing to wait now than you were half an hour ago? Me too. Me too, actually. So what I want to do, I want to do a song. And this is an old song, actually, but they've done a remix of it. And I actually was looking at a YouTube last night and I wasn't sure if we could use it or not. But praise God, Nate and the guys are flexible. But I want this to be a time of waiting, okay? So you guys are amazing because I know the time. But if we can press in, I think it'll be beneficial, right? So I want you to, while I do this song, and engage with the words, because it's amazing words to this song. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. And so while I do this song, don't be a spectator. Okay, so whatever helps you to wait, position yourself in that way. So if it helps you, I know Simon does this great on prayer and praise. He'll just come and lay on the floor somewhere. That's how he's learned to wait on God, okay? Some of us, it helps if you put your hands out, like it's an act of faith that you're going to actually receive from God. You might want to come and kneel and pray. You might want to turn around and kneel on your chairs. I grew up seeing people, old men of faith, who in the middle of a meeting would just turn around, get off the chair and just kneel at the chair and pray like this. Just wanted to humble themselves before God until he connected with them and they connected with him. So however you need to do it today, is just position yourself, stand and worship, come and kneel, whatever helps you connect. But let's just do some waiting, hey, in this last 5 or 10 minutes and engage with him in however. Because, you know, you've listened to me. You don't want to listen to me anymore. You want to listen to him and hear what he says to your heart individually, specifically, personally, lovingly and gently. Let's wait, hey? Let's wait on him. Let's engage with him.